I'm Phil Golding, and this is 5 Steps to Freedom. This episode entitled The Path of Wisdom, The Power of Personal Responsibility is based on my 5-step process for healing your mind, self-awareness and empowerment, and my self-help book, 5 Steps to Freedom, A Path to Inner Harmony and Personal Growth. To get an overview of my 5-step process, which is the basis of my work as a psychotherapist and self-awareness meditation mindfulness teacher, go to my podcasts, The 5-Step Process for Healing, Wisdom and Empowerment, Part 1 and 2, which I have produced for this purpose. So let's get started on the path of wisdom, the power of personal responsibility. So let's start with an important question, and that is, what are you creating in your life? There is one ability that human beings have that sets us apart from every other creature on this planet, and that is our dynamic ability to create as an independent, self-driven consciousness. We are all creators, but we don't necessarily know or understand what we are creating. William Shatner, of Star Trek fame, recently wrote about his experience of actually entering space for real in Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin spacecraft. Looking out into the dark, infinite expanse of space, Shatner described how he found himself not thinking about the Star Trek adventures of boldly going where no man has gone before, but instead how cold, unforgiving and deadly space looked. When he looked back at Earth, he described a profound feeling of how much Earth represented a sanctuary of safety and of life. He could see how fragile this sanctuary was, protected from space by only a thin layer of atmosphere, which is kept in place by all the natural factors of Earth working in harmony together. He also reflected on the one factor within that perfectly balanced ecosystem that is threatening this vitally important balance, and that is humanity. Humanity, made up of human beings such as you and I, is out of balance with nature to the point of being in direct conflict with nature, each other, and ultimately ourselves, when in reality we are all in this together. We are all creators, but we are out of control and out of balance with creation itself. It doesn't have to be this way, however. As human beings, we also have the power to consciously create in harmony with ourselves, each other, and this gigantic space rock we call Earth that we live on. There are, in fact, two fundamental principles or laws of consciousness that guide our ability to create in a way that is in harmony with all that we depend on. In fact, these laws were identified in the earliest known wisdom texts written around 5,000 years ago. These laws have remained a constant right up to now and continue to guide those who pay attention. In a previous episode, I talked about the importance and power of acceptance, and particularly unconditional acceptance, the essential factor that enables us to look squarely at ourselves without being pushed back by our own often unconscious self-rejection. This is the first of the two laws of consciousness. Being able to look squarely at ourselves means that we are learning to be truly consciously aware of ourselves. This implies that even though, as human beings, we may have the power of a dynamic consciousness, we have not necessarily activated the full potential of that power. With unconditional self-acceptance, our power of consciousness is being activated to the next level of awareness. Here we are learning to observe ourselves from a higher, more enlightened perspective. I describe this fundamental acceptance as an essential factor that enables us to heal our minds, learn, grow, and evolve. I also pointed out that acceptance is a quality of unconditional love, which is how we perceive, feel oneness. That might sound a bit mystical, but when William Shatner looked back at Mother Earth from the cold, unforgiving expanse of space, he not only saw, but experienced that oneness that he felt so much a part of. From that state of wonder and connection, Shatner then felt something very different, and that was despair at the pointless disharmony and conflict that humanity engages in. This brings us to the second law of consciousness, personal responsibility. Personal responsibility is the path to wisdom, integrity, and genuine empowerment. An empowerment that not only empowers ourselves, but motivates and enables us to empower others. Unconditional acceptance, love, and personal responsibility, to be a force for good, must be combined like the two wings of a bird, to quote a Buddhist text. Without personal responsibility, our ego can confuse the truth of unconditional self-acceptance with self-indulgence and fall into the temptation of taking from others and the world, such as with thoughtless materialism, to fill up the emptiness that we feel. Without unconditional self-acceptance and the compassion that it cultivates, personal responsibility can become harsh and unforgiving and can seek to dominate others to fill that underlying emptiness. We must combine these two laws of consciousness and live them as the foundation of our own relationship with ourselves and our approach to creating our lives. When we do, we enter the path of accepting full responsibility to love ourselves unconditionally, the path of wisdom, in other words. This means our self-worth no longer depends on things external to us. We no longer have to control, manipulate, and exploit those around us to feel whole and secure. It also implies that love does not come from outside us. Just like the empowered realization that no one owns our worth, in the same way, no one owns our love. In reality, genuine self-worth and self-love are the same thing. This takes a lot of contemplation and can be a very confronting perspective for the ego to comprehend. In my experience, all that is in our minds that is confronted by this perspective are the mindsets that create disharmony, conflict, and suffering. This perspective of accepting full responsibility to love ourselves unconditionally is fundamentally important for empowerment and resilience. It is fundamental for creating relationship harmony, sustainability, in business and technology also depends on these laws of consciousness. When we look squarely at ourselves consistently enough, we are inevitably confronted by how arbitrarily our minds have been conditioned and how much our conditioning controls our lives. Your conditioning determines what you see in the world through the lens of your own mind, which colours everything you perceive, including how you perceive yourself. The most important factor in personal responsibility is taking full ownership of your mind, which includes accepting full responsibility for your own suffering. In other words, you are accepting full responsibility for everything you think, feel, say, and do. Therefore, I am talking about the path of mastering your own mind, and therefore your life. To do that, you have to establish a real and profound conscious relationship with yourself, which is why unconditional self-acceptance is so fundamentally important. Don't think that this is out of your reach. If you are listening to this podcast, you are already switching on and on your way. To enter this path of freedom and empowerment, you must accept that you are human, that you have been conditioned by your family of origin and your environment, while being in the position of powerlessness and dependency as a child. But like every other adult in this world, your mind, your conditioning, is now your responsibility. You are now your own parent. So why is it so hard for us to own our own mind, to look squarely at it, instead of thinking that we are a victim and blaming someone or something else for the ways that we think and therefore feel? As my Power of Acceptance podcast pointed out, and all the self-awareness seekers throughout the ages have discovered, what beats us back from genuine self-reflection, self-awareness, is self-rejection. All the ways we don't think we measure up to some arbitrary internalized standard, which is more often than not unconscious and false. As adults, no one makes us think or feel. This statement is confronting for our ego, but it also points to how we give our power away. This is the power to gain mastery over our lives and therefore create the lives that we want. We have all grown through our childhood years to where we are thoroughly conditioned with beliefs and programmed life strategies. Despite the fact that we are running so much on unconscious habit, what we think and feel in response or reaction to what is occurring in the moment is our choice, whether that choice is conscious or unconscious, and depends directly on the meanings we now project onto that moment. As adults, having the power and potential of awareness, we are in charge of our own minds. Just like we are in charge of the car that we are driving on the road. If we deny the road rules and impulsively do whatever we want on the road, regardless of the other drivers and also our own highest good, we are going to create chaos. In the same way, if we deny the essential importance of self-acceptance and personal responsibility, the laws of consciousness, we will have our blind, habit-bound mind in the driver's seat of our lives, reacting in ways that are not appropriate to the present moment. We end up creating some form of chaos in our lives and continue to perpetuate this chaos within our own minds. We are acting from conditioning created in the past, such as self-rejecting trauma, that keeps trying to perpetuate itself in the present. So why does it do that? Why does it keep on going round and round? Because your survival instincts are still treating you like a child. They are still looking for any tiny sign of danger in the present moment that may have caused you harm in the past, even though you are likely to be living in a very different world now. It could just be someone's tone of voice, a certain look, etc., that has no negative meaning now. Or maybe it does. It doesn't matter. Your fear-based survival mind interprets that moment from the perspective of you being a powerless, vulnerable child. And all of a sudden, you are thrown into a state of fight or flight, acting out of the same reactions that you did as a child, but now through your adult body and mind. Of course, this is very hard to deal with. We are caught between being ashamed of our irrational reactions and trying to justify them. We are trapped in the dilemma of being human. Unlike adults, children have limited access to awareness. That's why, as children, we need parents to mentor us into our growing potential of awareness. Our parents and other significant adults were our awareness trainers, supposedly teaching us how to be in charge of our minds. When parents and the various other guardians that were responsible for our care while growing up deny responsibility for their minds or are simply unaware of their own potential, the consequences are obvious. Again, this is the dilemma of being human and growing up in a human world. Of course, trying to live these laws of consciousness, acceptance and responsibility does not mean that we are going to get it right. In fact, we are going to miss the mark a heck of a lot. What it really means is that we are going to have a go while accepting our humanness as well as the outcomes of our efforts and decisions, and do our best to learn something constructive from each experience. So let us see how these two laws of consciousness, acceptance and personal responsibility, work in a relationship that is harmonious, loving and highly functional. Such a relationship does not occur by accident. Each person in that relationship already knows how to love and accept themselves without depending on the other person to do this for them. They are not so much taking love from one another, but instead inflowing love into the relationship from the foundation of their own relationship with themselves. They are standing on their own internal self-worth, self-love foundation. The more we depend on the other to be the source of our love and worth, the more we trap each other in expectations that we can't live up to, resulting in conflict. In this harmonious relationship, each person takes ownership of their own worth, which also means they each accept their own humanness, their own fears and insecurities, in other words. They don't blame, judge the other when their fears and insecurities get triggered. They instead recognize that their sudden vulnerability is revealing to their awareness where they have become confused, usually due to some unhelpful conditioning from their childhood that has led to unrealistic expectations. They don't judge, blame themselves either, even if they do react and create some conflict at first. Their deep, unconditional self-acceptance enables them to sit with their own confusion, their own self-rejection, and the acute vulnerability and emotional pain that this self-rejection causes, and compassionately care for it, like a loving parent cares for their own child. As a result of their own self-awareness and self-compassion, they see their emotional reaction as an ongoing opportunity to do some inner healing and adjust their thinking for their own highest good, which also benefits the relationship. They are in the process of completing the job of bringing themselves up. They know that the relationship gives them a mirror to see their own past emotional wounds. This is the power of mastering your own mind. Learning to do this when we have been used to blaming others and rejecting ourselves, like I once did while suffering depression and PTSD, is not an easy path at first, but guided by these laws of consciousness, the first two steps of my five-step process, it is indeed doable, and it is the greatest gift you will ever give to yourself, and it is worth every effort. And once we gain traction in this self-awareness process, it just keeps getting better. To the degree that we blame and judge others or ourselves is the degree that we won't learn from our mistakes. Also, to the degree that we blame and judge ourselves is the degree that we will allow ourselves to be mistreated, or inversely, the more we try to prop up our self-worth with pride, denial, and self-righteousness. When we run a business with this aware perspective of acceptance and personal responsibility, we are not depending on the business to prop up our ego. We are not running on empty, expecting business outcomes to fill us up. This existential emptiness that drives all business practices that engage in exploitation of people and unsustainable use of natural resources is driven by self-rejection. I suspect also the boom and bust of the stock market. This self-rejection may be denied and buried deep within our unconscious, but it is revealed when enough is never enough. An important lesson I learned in business is to be able to let it go, to even have it fail without my self-worth being reduced. When you take responsibility for your own self-worth, your business is not going to be run on fear-based grasping. It is going to be run on conscious, sustainable practices that are in touch with and care about the well-being of those working for you. Ongoing studies have shown that this approach is more sustainable and efficient than the fear-based grasping approaches. Those who work for you want to come to work because it is a sanctuary for them. They are more likely to identify with their work, want to be responsible, and are motivated to put their creative energy into their work. There is better employee retention and far less sick leave. If the business does end up failing, you can learn, grow, and bounce back because you know it has nothing to do with your worth. I also mentioned in my Power of Acceptance podcast that through the power of acceptance and personal responsibility, you are no longer a victim of life, but become a student of life. You cannot be consciously aware and be a victim at the same time. You come to understand that every moment, every circumstance, every relationship, whether you label it good or bad, is now an opportunity for you to look at how your own mind is reacting or responding to the moment, revealing how you are accepting yourself or rejecting yourself. Self-rejection is revealed by your vulnerable emotions of pain and suffering. Your mind, through your painful emotions, is calling out to you to parent yourself with compassion and love, the way you needed to be parented when you were a child. This is the power of personal responsibility. This is the path of wisdom. Being confronted with your vulnerabilities is an opportunity to learn what it takes to love your confused and suffering human self into your heart, because you are the love that your humanness has always been looking for. That is the real nature of your potential that you are now tapping into. Being willing to face yourself and learn how to responsibly embrace yourself is an affirmation of your own potential. You may not have had much experience of your real potential of this self-love due to the limitations of your upbringing, but you inevitably will if you do your best to live these principles one day at a time. You live these principles by learning them, like you are doing now by listening to this podcast, by talking to and spending time with people who have experience in their own self-awareness journey and by doing your best to put these laws of consciousness into practice, and be humble enough to get it wrong, but learn something from the experience. Most importantly, you will keep healing, learning, and growing because you will never, ever give up. Being a human being means you have the capacity to evolve, and evolve you will if you persist. As I pointed out in my Power of Acceptance podcast, the mind is designed to hang on to its old conditioning because that level of the mind can't tell the difference between the program that enables you to walk from the program that tells us to hate ourselves. If a set of thought structures have been normalized into the mind, usually at a young age, when conditioning would be entering more directly into our unconscious mind, the mind just assumes this is reality. We also have a growing ego that is trying to manage our mind, trying to manage our life. Ego is our potential of consciousness that is still held within our human mind body and is identifying with, serving, and defending the mind's conditioning. The ego tends to still operate from a child perspective, depending on how destructive or constructive your conditioning is. As children, we are genuinely vulnerable due to not having any real power over our lives. We are genuinely a victim of our difficult circumstances. We are still learning how to get on in the world. Because we look to the world outside ourselves for protection and guidance to tell us what is real and what isn't, we are at the mercy of the more powerful people around us. So when we are frightened and get emotionally hurt, we are looking outside of us for the cause of that hurt, even though our own problematic conditioning is increasingly playing a part in our own pain from as early as 2 years old. To a child, painful emotions are just scary things to avoid, and something someone else causes us to feel. This mind and its ego can't see the programs or conditioning that is causing the emotional pain, because the mind is the program. Furthermore, the mind ego will tend to tenaciously hang on to that programming no matter how much it hurts. After all, it would be a major problem if we were walking down the street one day and got so distracted that we forgot how to walk. This mind ego is not going to change its program without a lot of persuasion. But we can change our programs and build new ones. We can learn to walk differently. We can learn to dance. We can learn a new sport. We can embark on a course of study and gain qualifications in some field of endeavor. We can become an apprentice to a tradesperson and become a tradesperson ourselves, teaching an apprentice. Look at the effort we put into reprogramming our minds when we are motivated to do so. This shows us that we can indeed evolve. If you use the same approach to building self-acceptance and self-worth, you will inevitably succeed, but we don't tend to do that. Why? When it comes to creating self-worth and self-acceptance, we are dealing with internalized, conditioned, and self-created suffering and confusion that causes us to grasp at answers for the sake of the quick fix in order to get rid of the suffering. We fall into a fear-based, childlike approach. We think it should all happen magically, like your partner is going to magically fix your suffering in the same way your parents seem to magically control your life as a child. In order to succeed in any endeavor, however, we have to approach this path with our present moment conscious awareness in charge, not our blind childhood conditioning. We have to accept total personal responsibility to love ourselves unconditionally, Otherwise, we will end up running on empty and revert back to the old self-defeating programs and give up. When the ego starts aligning itself to the two foundational laws of consciousness, whether due to intuition or being trapped in the nexus of suffering with no way out but to go within, or both, it begins the transformation into awareness, because ego has no choice but to face itself. If the ego faces itself with self-rejection, the pain just keeps getting worse. So we have to learn a new way. Awareness is the awakened ego observing the mind through the doorway of acceptance, an open heart, which is what awareness is, the heart being open. Awareness is further empowered by personal responsibility, because that puts your focus onto your own mind, the thing you are learning to master, because your mind controls your life until you learn to take control of your mind. As soon as you blame something outside yourself for your suffering, you are no longer looking at your mind. You are putting the world in charge of your life. You are rendering yourself once again powerless. There are indeed countless things in this world you have no control over. You think all is going well and suddenly some disaster strikes you, be it a health problem, someone doing something bad to you, a natural disaster destroying your home, and on it goes. The page of your life suddenly shifts. The power over your life is not what happens to you, however. It is how you consciously respond to what happens to you. Being in your conscious awareness or not determines whether you suffer or not. The way you respond can also have enormous influence on the world around you, but will definitely determine whether you see yourself as a victim and buckle under the weight of the experience, or whether you learn more about your own potential for healing and awareness, grow and adapt, and once again thrive, now with greater wisdom. You can identify problematic conditioning from constructive conditioning by being able to own and stay present with the emotion, which in turn reveals the confused self-rejecting thoughts that causes the painful emotion. The emotions reveal the thought because emotions are the frequency of the thought. Emotions don't get confused, they point to the confusion. Awareness understands that emotion, no matter how painful they happen to be, are our friends, pointing to where we need to parent ourselves with the healing balm of love and the clarity that we are learning by trying to live these life-enhancing principles. Our painful emotions are our child, teenage, or young adult self calling out for help. Now, this human self that is calling out for help in the form of painful emotions is more than likely still looking outside ourselves for the answers, for the help, and probably for some ineffective quick fix out of fear of the emotions, because it does not yet know you as awareness. It does not yet know that you are right there with the light of love, ready to tend to the pain. It can't look up to a higher dimensional self. As awareness, you must go to your vulnerabilities. You must proactively engage in an ongoing, accepting, compassionate, loving relationship with your human self, even if you are not very steady in that love at first. When you are committing to owning your emotions while accepting that you are still worthy of your love, even when you emotionally react, you are going to be paying attention to your vulnerabilities and the subsequent emotional reactions like a loving and attentive parent looking out for your own beloved child. This is the key to the practice of mindfulness. As I pointed out, in the early stages of this awakening, healing and growing journey, our self-love is going to be inconsistent and our awareness fleeting. We are going to be easily discouraged and beaten back by the seemingly all-powerful mind that is trying to hang on to its blind habits. But we, as conscious awareness, have the mind as a captive audience for the rest of our lives, unlike our own children who leave home when they are 18 or 20, just as we are starting to figure out how to be a parent. Our relationship with ourselves is for life. We can keep learning and empowering ourselves with our own self-awareness process, and we can keep returning to our mind to have another go, and another, and another. The ultimate power of awareness is that it never runs out. You are plugging directly into life, to oneness, to the ultimate source of unconditional love and wisdom, which is what the two laws of consciousness are aligning you to. So you, as awareness, are the apprentice to life itself, and you are just going to keep getting stronger, more aware, more experienced, more confident, more skilled, more courageous, more wise. Increasingly, you will be able to identify confused, pain-causing thoughts without identifying with them. You will be increasingly observing them from a detached perspective and compassionately acting on them with your new awareness. You will be a whole new energy of love and compassion and a whole new level of clarity for your mind to experience over and over again. You will literally become a new environment for your mind to live in, regardless of what is going on in the outside world. Every time you are impacted by a challenge in the world around you that triggers fear and confusion in your mind, you are learning to be present with that vulnerability, guiding it into you as awareness, instead of it being grasped by your fight-or-flight primal instincts and resorting to the old ineffective or even destructive reactions. Even if you do react and come back to the issue later, once you have regained your awareness, which is at first most of the time, you are still moving forward. In this new environment, your mind must inevitably take on this new conditioning. It has no choice. That is how it is designed. Yes, it is designed to hang on to the old conditioning, but under the right conditions, it will come to let go of the old way and take on the new way, which becomes the new habit if you keep literally living the process. In this way, your mind will take its rightful place as the support person for you as conscious awareness, programmed according to your potential. Through these two laws of consciousness, you will come to experience how life is partnering you in your own evolution, evolving you into your own potential. When observing your life from this perspective, you will become aware of how life circumstances and conditions mirror so effectively what you need to learn. So as you go about your day, look at the world around you and observe it from this empowering perspective. Where there is self-rejection, there is pride, and self-denial, self-righteousness trying to compensate for it, and therefore conflict or people allowing themselves to be mistreated. Self-rejection creates internal conflict with our own selves, reflected in various levels of self-destructive behavior. Furthermore, that inner conflict is projected onto others depending on our own conditioning and personality. These projections driven by self-rejection create fear, prejudice, dishonesty, division, and inequality in the community. Out of our own self-perpetuating fear, we seek to reject, dominate, or exploit others. Or we give our power away by being overly dependent on others. In contrast, where the laws of consciousness are being lived, there is tolerance, inclusiveness, kindness, mutual respect, integrity, equality or equity, and harmony, because people are in harmony with themselves and taking responsibility to love themselves unconditionally. Perhaps with our growing collective awareness, more than at any other time, we can see the consequences of the absence of these laws of consciousness and also when they are actually being lived. It is not always black and white. There is always a lot of grey. However, observing from this perspective will help you see what works and why it works. Have a look for yourself. Perhaps you may want to explore these laws of consciousness for yourself and live them in your own life. What's the risk? All you will lose is inner conflict and suffering. What you will gain is inner harmony, loving relationships, empowerment, sustainability, and awareness. So live your life from the power of self-acceptance and personal responsibility, and create the life that matches your potential. Not only will you become the solution for your own life, but an important part of the solution for the world around you. So that concludes this episode. And don't forget my book, 5 Steps to Freedom, A Path to Inner Harmony and Personal Growth. And feel free to contact me by email if you have any comments or questions. My next podcast will be about overcoming negative self-talk. It will provide you with a practical and effective approach to achieving emotional healing, inner harmony, awareness, and empowerment. Be your own forever loving and compassionate parent, and love will always warm your heart.